2 years ago, as you all well know, Hamas terrorists went into Israel, to Judah, and they took hostages, they murdered people. And the last 2 years have been a time of great distress to Jews and in Israel. But that's not the only time, is it? In the 1930s and 40s, Adolf Hitler decided that he wanted to exterminate the Jews. And you all know about the gas chambers in Germany. But these are recent distresses. If you go back through the Old Testament and you think about the history of God's people, his chosen people, I don't know if you've ever decided, I'm going to read through the history. Has it not struck you how much distress, how much sadness, sorrow and suffering God's own people went through? Have you read the book of Judges? Time and time again, an enemy appeared and the people suffered. Have you read through the book of Kings? The people suffered again and again, not only from enemies, but under the hand of ungodly rulers, ungodly kings. Read through the book of Kings, 1 and 2 Kings. How many of those men were worth anything? They were godly men. They were not. And the people suffered. And eventually, because of their wickedness, God sent them away into Babylonian exile. More suffering. When they came back, they were opposed by local people. And then, for the next 400 or 500 years, they were under the heel of other nations. The Babylonians, the Persians, or the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, and finally, the Romans. I think if you think about the people, the history of God's people, it was distressing. It was a distressing history. But what I want to say to you this morning is, in the middle of all that, God promised his people comfort. Comfort. Isaiah chapter 40, some 700 years before Christ was born or more. Listen, comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort or tenderly to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. The prophet Isaiah spoke of a time to come when God would comfort his people. And Matthew quotes what Isaiah said. Oh, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his straight, his way straight. And then sometime after that, probably in the 5th century before Christ, 400 years before Christ, the prophet Malachi finishes the Old Testament with another word of comfort. He says, let me read what Malachi says. He says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And then again he says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and so on. And you see, in all that history, so much suffering. And yet, in that history, God told them, the day is coming when I will comfort you. I will send you Elijah. I will send you my messenger. And he will sort it out. He will sort it out. And this morning, and this evening as well, we are going to consider that the time when that took place. And it was with the coming of John the Baptist. We read in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. Remember now, up until now we've been reading about the birth of Jesus. All of a sudden, we are led forward 30 years. And John, as is now, Luke tells us about his birth. Now John, who is 6 months older than Christ, John is now about 30 years old. And Matthew says this, in those days, John the Baptist came, what? Preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And I want to begin this morning to consider this event, the coming, the ministry of John the Baptist. And I want to do two things this morning. First of all, I want to look at John himself. And secondly, I want to look at John's message. So, very straightforward, I hope. John and his message, okay? In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now, Matthew now tells us about John the Baptist. And I want you to notice certain things. Where was John preaching? Where was he preaching? He wasn't preaching in the temple. He wasn't in Jerusalem. He was in the wilderness of Judea. If you get a map of Israel and you go from Jerusalem east, underneath Jericho, right, you soon enter into a wilderness, a desert. It's known as the wilderness of Judea. And as you cross through that desert, you find the Jordan River running down into the Dead Sea. And it's a very dry, hot place. Hot in the day, freezing cold in the night. And the Bible tells us that John was ministering in that wilderness. In fact, Luke tells us he was in the wilderness there throughout his youth until the time came for him to be presented to Israel. And we know precisely where he was ministering. It was a place called Bethabara. Bethabara. Bethabara means the house of crossing over. It's the place where the Jordan was very shallow, wide but shallow, and people could walk across it and just get their feet wet. Okay? And John was preaching at this time on the just on the other side. So he had spent his young years in that wilderness, and now he was preaching just on the other side of the River Jordan. And Matthew tells us in verse 4 what he looked like. If you had been there, you would have noticed him. He was a very unusual dresser. He dressed in clothes made from, it says, from camel hair. Now I looked up what a camel hair coat looked like, and I was told that this was a very soft and luxurious garment. Right? You might like it, but John wasn't dressed in one of those. The Lord Jesus says later, he says, what does he say? Hold on, let me just get the right words. He says this, what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Those who wear soft garments live in king's houses, king's palaces. No, his clothing, his leather belt or girdle, and his camel-haired coat was rough clothing to protect him in the wilds of the desert. And his diet, would you like his diet? Wild locusts, wild honey. There were no cooked meals out in the desert. John was out there in the wilderness. This is the man. And you know, the way he dressed, do you know what was so important about the way he dressed? He looked exactly like the prophet Elijah, who had ministered over 800 years before. There was a time when Elijah met one of the servants of the king, sent him back to the king with a message. So the king asked the servant, he said, what did he look like? So, well, he was wearing a coat of camel skin or camel hair, and a leather. He said, Elijah, it's Elijah the prophet. You see, this was Elijah's style of dress. And John had been clothed in exactly the same clothing. So when you looked at him, you said, this is not what the scribes and Pharisees are wearing. They like long robes. They like soft clothing. It's not what kings are wearing. No, this is Elijah the prophet. And the Lord Jesus says about him, he is Elijah who is to come. In other words, you've heard about Elijah. You've heard what Malachi said about him. But this is he. He is the Elijah you're waiting for. Do you know, the Jews have an empty chair at Passover every year. Do you know why there's an empty chair there? They're waiting for Elijah. They're waiting for Elijah. If only they knew that Elijah had come. If only they knew that. They're waiting for someone who had already come. This is Elijah who is to come, says Christ. Now, here he is, dressed like that, in the Jordan, looking like Elijah of old. And the reason for all this is that he is sent as the messenger of the Lord. This man was the messenger of the Lord. Jesus said about him, listen, this is Matthew 11, he says, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? He says, a prophet? I say to you, yes, I say to you, more than a prophet. More than a prophet. He says, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face. He will prepare your way before you. This is the one who came as the forerunner before the Lord himself, the messenger of God. So, listen, Jesus says, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not been one greater than John the Baptist. And then he says, but he who is least, in other words, himself, Christ is greater. Christ is greater. And John says that. Christ is greater. He says, John says about himself, he says, I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandal. Or in another place, I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. And I felt when I read that, I thought, and I'm not worthy to carry John's sandals. Are you? This is John the Baptist. Jesus said about him, he is a burning and a shining lamp. In other words, when you come to John, you'll get the light of truth. You know, he's a remarkable man. I could spend a long time. Do you know he was descended from Aaron? The very first high priest, the brother of Moses. Do you know when he was about to be conceived and born, the angel Gabriel came and announced that he was about to be conceived? Do you know that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb? This was John the Baptist. And I tell you, this was a man then that people would do well to listen to. Will they listen to the messenger of God? The forerunner of the Messiah? The one who is going to announce the King of Kings? So this is John. This is John the Baptist. Perhaps we'll meet him one day. John the Baptist. Okay. So, this is John. And then, I said I wanted to do two things. I want to look at John, and secondly, his message, John's message. What was John's message? Well, there's three things I want to tell you about John's message this morning. The first thing is that it was a message of comfort. Okay? It was a message of comfort. That's what Isaiah said. He said, "Comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem." John was sent with a message of comfort. And don't you agree with me that after all that history of suffering, was it not comforting to receive the messenger of God? It was a message of comfort. Listen to what his father said about him when he was born. This is in Luke chapter 1. Listen, he says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. You will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way." And he goes on, what? Listen. "To give knowledge of salvation to his people." Is that not a comforting thing? To have the knowledge of salvation. He goes on. "By the remission of sins." This is the kind of salvation. It's salvation. Comfort, salvation. By the remission of sins. The message he has is, your sins are pardoned. It's a message of great comfort. He says, "through the tender mercy of our God." You see, John coming, he has a message of the mercy of God to you. He said, "with which the day spring from on high has visited us, the glorious sunrise of heaven." This is Christ, you know. The sunrise of heaven has shone. He says, now he says, to give light. The light of Christ is going to fall now on those who sit in darkness. What? Those who sit in darkness. And the shadow of death. And the shadow of death. It's a message of comfort to those who are going to die. To those who are foreigners to God. They're living in the dark. And John comes with a message of light from heaven. Do you not agree with me? That's comforting. To have the light of heaven, the face of God, the light of Christ shining on you, so that you suddenly realize, I've been living in the dark. I'm destined to die. I am a child of death. But there's comfort. There's the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins. This is a message of comfort. Make no mistake about it. John brought a message of great comfort. The whole world needs that comfort. You and I have needed that comfort. We are children born in sin, aren't we not? Are we not destined to die? Is not death, as it were, approaching? But what lies beyond death? Many of these were hell-bound. There was no comfort beyond death. No, the comfort comes before you die in finding the one that John came to speak about. So first of all then, briefly, it was a message of comfort. Secondly, it was a message about the kingdom. Do you not look at his first words in Matthew? Look, Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. This sentence sums up John's ministry. I read a book this week, or not a chapter of a book, where it said, good sermons have one point. And I agree. And John had one point. And he would have left you in no doubt about his point. He says, what is it? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's his sermon. What you need to know is the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what that really means, at hand, I don't know what does at hand sound like to you? Does it sound that it's kind of on the way? Well, the Greek tells you the kingdom of heaven has come near. In other words, it has arrived. It has arrived. Or literally then, about to arrive. You're as it were, tomorrow the kingdom of heaven is going to be here. And when John talks about the kingdom of heaven, do you know what he really means as well? He means the king is here. You can't have a kingdom without the king. So he is announcing, as we sang just now, the King of Kings has arrived. He said on one place, he said, this is in John chapter 1, he says, there is one standing among you whom you do not know. There was the Lord Jesus standing in their midst, and John is there preaching. Do you know what? The king has arrived. But they didn't know him yet. Your king has come. In other words, the king that long ago Zechariah preached about when he said, behold, your king is coming to you. That king. And the king that David was promised. One of your sons from your womb. I will put him on your throne. You see, John is saying, do you know, all through those years of suffering and misery, they were years of waiting. Waiting for one man. Your king. Your kingdom. One stands among you whom you do not know, he says. And I'm not worthy to undo his sandal. So, John, when you look at John's ministry, what was he doing? He was essentially pointing them not to himself. You know, years later, there were still disciples of John the Baptist in the world. Because somehow or other, they'd not realized that John's ministry had now been eclipsed by the ministry of Christ. And John, when John's disciples saw people leaving him and following Jesus, they got upset. He said, that's how it should be. That's how it should be. All the time, John the Baptist was pointing men and women to Jesus Christ. What did Isaiah say he was going to say? The message was going to be, Isaiah 40 verse 9, behold your God. And when he said, behold your God, he was referring to Jesus Christ. If you want a passage that establishes the deity of Christ, look at John, look at Isaiah chapter 40. Behold your God. And when he stood there that day and Jesus was in the midst, what did he say to them? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. John's message, it was a message of comfort because he could point to Jesus of Nazareth and say to them, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the comfort. There is salvation through the remission of sins. This is him. Behold the Lamb of God. That was John's message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven has arrived. The king has arrived. Behold your God. Behold the Lamb of God. John did what they needed. They needed to know and to be pointed to Jesus Christ, their God, their King, their Lamb, their sacrificial Lamb, and their Saviour. That was his message. But there was another part to his message. The word I've missed out just for the moment. It comes in the word repent. Repent. Or another way of putting this is John was telling them to get ready for their king. See, the question there was, are you ready to meet Christ? And the truth is, they weren't ready. They weren't ready at all. Luke tells us, let me just turn to it. When Luke describes Jesus' ministry, he also describes, John the Baptist's ministry, when Luke describes that, he also describes the people who came to him. Multitudes came to him, and he says, they came confessing their sins. That was the way to get ready. John was there to bring out from them their sins so that they might repent of them, have done with them. It says, can you imagine the scene? Tax collectors came to him. Well, John, what shall we do? Stop stealing from people. Stop charging them too much. Stop being greedy. Soldiers came to him. John, what shall we do? Can you imagine the scene of soldiers crying? There were soldiers in the desert around John the Baptist weeping over sin. That's very unsoldier-like, isn't it? I don't know many soldiers who weep over their violence, their cruelty. He says to them, stop bullying the people. Stop accusing them with false accusations. What was John doing? He said, you have to deal with yourselves. You have to recognize that there's wickedness in you, that you're not ready for Christ when you're in such a wicked state. The only thing I want to add this morning is this. So it was a message of comfort, you say. But you say that he was calling them to repent. Is that very comforting? It's very comforting. Do you know why? Because repentance is a gift of God. You might think that when he called upon them to repent, he was telling them to do something, and he was. But it was something that they could only do because God was graciously giving them repentance. The Bible says in Acts that Jesus came to give repentance to Israel. It says that he has preached to give repentance to Israel. When Paul writes to Timothy, he talks about repentance as a gift of God. The Bible is quite clear. If you're a sinner, you'll stay in your sin. You'll harden your heart. You won't listen. But when God gives you repentance, then you will. Then you'll be humbled. Then you'll be ready to say, yes, I have sinned. And not just, oh, I'm a very bad person, but yes, I did steal from them. Yes, I did accuse them falsely. Yes, I was a bully, and all the rest of it. And many, many people were addressed by John. Sinners, you sinners, come now. Turn from your sin. Turn to the Lord. So that was the message of Elijah. He prayed at Mount Carmel, didn't he? He said, Lord, turn their hearts back to you. Turn their hearts back to you. You see, to come to Christ is a matter of the heart. It's all about the heart. It's whether your heart is his, or whether your heart is in your old ways, or in the world, or somewhere else. Do you belong to Jesus? That's the question. Has God so graciously dealt with your heart that you've seen yourself? At last I know what I'm like. Well, I must stop because time is gone. But let me say this. We've begun to look at John the Baptist this morning. In his camel hair and his leather girdles, with his locusts and wild honey, by the River Jordan, calling them. We've looked at John. And we've begun to look at his message. The message of comfort. When Christ comes, that is comfort. If you've known the conviction of sins, then you'll also know the comfort of knowing the Lord as your Saviour. Great comfort. It's a message of comfort. It was a message of the King of Kings. And it was a call to repent, something that God was giving them as well. You repent because God is giving you repentance. Now, that was a message for the Jews in the year AD 28, whenever it was. It's a message for the world. It's a message for today. That's it. John's message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has arrived. The King is here. Turn your heart to him. Amen.